Boker Tov, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. We've had a brief hiatus, and are picking up now on Daf Nun Tet Amud Aleph, the Shirim of the intervening pieces Nun Aleph through Nun Tet will be made up towards the end of the summer before we finish the Masechet. We are in the middle of the sixth parak of Ba'al Yevim Tov at the Mishnah, which is properly identified as Mishnah Dalet, or at least the first half of Mishnah Dalet. Kohen Gadol lo yisal mana. This we know from the Torah. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a widow. Ben amana mina erusin, ben amana mina nisuin. Whether or not she was widowed from kiddushin or from nisuin. Velo yisa et habogeret. There's a machloket about whether the Kohen Gadol can marry a bogeret, somebody who is after the period of na'arut, which is 6 months from the onset of puberty. So a machloket between Tanakama, who we will identify later as Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Elazar and Shimon about whether a bogeret is automatically excluded from the dina of bitulah, and perhaps the text reads, and this is a problem in the manuscripts, v'loisat mukaretz. Question about whether the status of mukaretz, somebody who is not a bogeret yet, but who has been through physical intervention, but not of a sexual nature, is no longer a betula. Physically not a betula, but halachically perhaps is. Good. So now, Tana Rabbanan. Let's take a look at this. Almana lo yikach. Important to look at pasuk number one, which is three psukim in the parsha of Kohen Gadol and parsha Amor. It says, Almana lo yikach. So the drush is, bein almana min ha'irusin, bein almana min ha'nisuin. Doesn't matter if she's from erusin or nisuin. So pshita. It's a no-brainer. Almana is an almana. We might learn the word almana from its first occurrence in the Torah, which is in the story of Tamar and Yehuda, which is in Bereishit Lamed Chet. And there are the almanas and almana min hanisuin. Malahala min hanisuin, afkan min hanisuin. So kamash malat. Ve'emachinami. So why indeed don't we do that? When the first time that the word almana shows up in the Torah, it's an almana min hanisuin, maybe that's what an almana means. That a widow is only somebody who was actually married and whose husband died. So why don't we infer it that way? The answer is, Dumya de Grusha, because the Torah says, Almana u Grusha. Look again at Pasuk number one. So, Ma Grusha, Ben Min Anasuin, Ben Min Anasuin. We know that as far as Grusha goes, it does not matter whether or not she was divorced from a status of marriage or from Kiddushin. Af Almana, Ben Min Anasuin, Ben Min Anasuin. So therefore, the definitions are aligned. And therefore, almana is also min ha'erusin. Good. Loisat ha'bogeret. So now let's take a look at how these opinions lay out. Tanu rabanan. V'hu isha b'vtula ha'yikach. Again, look at pasuk number one. You see that there is a machloket in how to read the specific terms of the pasuk. Prat l'bogeret. Shekau la b'tula ha. Divra Meir. So Meir says, Hu isha b'vtula ha'yikach. He must take a b'tula. That excludes a bogeret who is no longer betula, divir abmer. Those were Rishon machshirin bogeret. Now, b'maika mipalgi. So now we see that our Tanakama is Rameir. B'maika mipalgi, what's the machloket about? Meir Savar, he reads as follows. So remember, the word says betula. It should say, v'hu betula yikach. He says, isha bivtula ha-yikach. It's a double-added thing. So it's betula, betuleha, bivtuleha. So Meir says as follows. This is our reconstruction of Meir. Bitula afilu miktsar bitula. Bitula means just somebody who's minimal bitula, as it were. Mashma. So bituleha adika kola bitulim. So then when the Torah adds not bitula, but bituleha, it means like a super bitula. And then bivtuleha bichadarka in shalokadarka lo. But bivtuleha now limits again and says that the only requirement is that it be somebody who has maintained her status of betula only when it comes to biyakadarka. Now, that's what Meir, or Belozer Shimon, talk from the opposite direction. Sorry, betula, betula shleima mashma. That a betula is a full betula. So, betuleha, filimiktsat betulim. So, since the word betula in its default understanding is a full betula, therefore, if the Torah is using a strange word, it can only be minimizing and saying it doesn't need to be a full betula. Betula, chiu kola betula kayami. Bein bekadarka, bein shelo kadarka. All right, so betula is afilu miktsat betulim. then Biv Tuleha then turns it around and says, Shugobu Tuleha Kaimin, Bein Kadarka, Bein Shalokadarka. So they'll say, Bia Shalokadarka will render her a non-Betula. Now, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Yivala Shalokadarka, Psula Kahuna. So Rav seems to rule, like Rav Loza Rav Shimon. It says, Bia Shalokadarka makes her Psula Likuna Gdola. Meitiv Rava, so Rava says as follows. In the Pasuk, which is Pasuk number 2 on the page, in which the Parsha of Ones says, Veloti Eli Isha, if a man is Ones a girl, he has to marry her. Isha Ruyelo, so the Drasha, which is chief focus of the first part of the third paragraph of the boat, which we'll get to not too far from, not too long from now, is Isha Ruyelo, means it's somebody who he's allowed to marry. Promptly Almana Lekohen Gadol, Grusha Vachulutz Lekohen Hedyon. So if a Kohen Gadol was Ones, an Almana, then, who by the way has to be a Na'ara to fit the pattern, she has to be a Na'ara Betula, so to fit the Parsha. So if he is Ones, such a person, then he does not marry her. Now, Hechidam, Inem of a Kadarka, that he was Boel her Kadarka, so my Yuri Mishum Almana, Tepukoi Mishum Dahavila Be'ula. After all, she's an Isha Be'ula, so we don't need to exclude the Kohen Gadol from her because she's an Almana. El alav shalokadarka. It must be that the bio is shalokadarka. Shomana'im mishum bu'ula lo. So we see that the limitation is only because she's an almana. She's not called a bi'ula. So we see that bia shalokadarka does not make her a bi'ula and does not make her a non-bi'ula, as it were. And therefore, it's a rejection of Rabbi Elazar Shimon. So the answer is, hamani Rabbi Meir hi. You're right. That's according to Meir, who says that the stam muting of bi'ula is minimal. V'rav da'amar k'Rabbi Elazar. And Rav happens to rule like Rabbi Elazar that says that the stam reading of Betula is maximal. So he, Rabbi Elazar, might hear Mishum Bula, but if he's going to follow Rabbi Elazar's ruling, Rabbi Elazar has another ruling, which is Panui Habal Panuya Sa'azona. That if there is Bia that's not part of Biat Ishu, to Biat Kiddushin, automatically makes the girl a Zona, which means she's already a Suna, just a Kohen Gadol, to a Kohen Hedyon. Igolazar might hear Mishum Bula, to proclaim to Havila Zona, Tam Rabbi Elazar, Panui Habal Panuya, Shalot Shem Ishut. Asazona. All right. So how are we going to reconcile this? What's the case of the bi'ah here? So, Rav Yosef Gonchenivala lebehema. All right. So she has some sort of a bi'ah. In this case, would be bestiality. Some sort of bi'ah who would render her a bu'ula, but not a zona. Dehata mishum bi'ila ika mishum zona bu'ula ika mishum zona leika. So I'm really Abai, I'm Monafshach. So Abai doesn't like this distinction. If you're going to consider Biat Behema Bia, and she's also a Zona, according to Rabbi Elazar. V Zona lo Havia, Bu'ula Nami lo Havia. Chitema midi de Havia Mukar Eitz. So you're going to argue that it's the same as Mukar Eitz. In other words, it's a non-sexual penetration. That's how we're going to regard it. Shalokadarka, imken enlacha isha, mukareit shalokadarka, imken enlacha isha shakshirelakuna, so I said it mukareit aide tsuor. Every woman has some sort of an accident happen like that. And Rabbi Zera bin Mimayanet. Rabbi Zera says, what's the case here? We're talking about a Mimayanet, meaning a girl who was married when she was before the age by her mother, by her brothers. We've dealt with the Mimayanet in the past quite a bit. And so, therefore, the bia cannot be considered a bia znut, but she, of course, is considered a bula. Okay, good. So that's how we solve this problem, and we say that the case we're talking about is a case of ma'anet. In other words, what we're saying is that Rav's ruling that nivala shelo kedarka psula lekahuna could be reconstructed in a way where we're talking about somebody who was a ma'anet. And therefore, she does not have a din of a zona. She was nivala shalokadarka, and so Rav will say that still renders her a bu'ula legabe kuhuna gdola. Okay, shim barchia nivala lebehema kshera lekuhuna. So this goes back to that previous point that if she has bia with a behema, that does not invalidate her from kuhuna. It's not called znut. Tan namiach nivala lemisha ino ish bia with something that's not a man. Pishu biskila. Even though there's theoretically a chiyuv skila, if there was proper testimony, nonetheless, she's not considered a zona. There was a particular girl in the town of Hitlu. She was sweeping up the house. Some wild dog attacked her from the back. And Rebbe said that she was kshera lekuhuna. Amashvul, a Kohen Gadol. Right? Shmuel says not only the Kuna Gdola. Means she's not considered even a Bu'ula. Bimei Rebbe Kohen Gadol Mihave. El Ruhiya Le Kohen Gadol. There was no Kohen Gadol at the time of Rebbe. It means that theoretically she was Ru'u the Kohen Gadol. So Amali Rava Mipirkin the Ravashi. But Rava asked the following thing of Ravashi. Minaha Milted Amar Rabbanan Ein Zut the Behema. So this whole piece that we've just been talking about, that a Bia with a Behema does not render the woman a Zonah, what's the Makor? Dichtiv, in the last pasuk on the page, Lo Tavi Et Nan Zonah Mechir Kelev. Beit Adonai Elohecha Alcho Neder. Right, so the Yisur of bringing a non-kelev, which means something that umechir zonah, so an animal that was used to pay a zonah cannot be brought, nor an non-kelev. But the flip is, something that was used to pay for a zonah or something that was used to buy a kelev. It's non, a non-kelev, umechir zonah, mutarim, but the flip of them is mutar. Shneimar gam shnehem, meaning shnayim v'lo arba'at. The Torah says both of these are toiva, these two and not the opposite two, meaning an etnan kelev. What's an etnan kelev? So Rashi points out, if a man were to give a particular woman an animal and say, I'm giving this to you, I'm not that you have bia with behema, that does not render the payment animal as pasul is the mizbeach, which means that the act is not an act of znut. Good, so that's the makor. Tana Rabbanan. Last piece we're going to do today. Anusat atzmo umufutat atzmo lo yisa imnasa nasui. So let's say a Kohen Gadol was ones a girl, and he should not marry her, but if he does marry her, that marriage is valid. We'll see what that means. Anusat chavero umufutat chavero lo yisa imnasa lezmin yakum ar vlad chalal v'chamim vlad kasher. So when it comes to anusat chaverim, meaning somebody else was ones a girl, and then the Kohen Gadol marries her, the question is, what is the status of the child? That's when Yaakov says the child is a halal, just as if he had married an almanah, and the Chacham say, no, the vlad is kasher. Now, let's take a look at this. Im nasa nasui, so Rav Huna amarav motzi beget. So Rav Huna claims that nasa nasui means that if he marries anusat atzmo, marriage is valid, of course, and we'll see what the implications of that are, but that he must divorce her. And Racha bar Yaakov Lamar, so Ve'alhanik Tani im nasan asui, so what's the point of saying im nasan asui if he has to divorce her? Racha bar Yaakov Lamar she'in mishalem kas b'mefuta. You have to remember that in the case of pitui, unlike ones, if the man is mefata the girl, and then if he marries her, he does not pay the kas. That's the ketubah that gets put away. If, on the other hand, he's ones, the girl has to pay the kanas in any case. But in the case of Futa, if he marries her, so let's say he's a Kohen Gadol, so Rakon Ravuna, he has to divorce her, but he does not have to pay the kanas because he did marry her, and the marriage is valid. So now, we're not done with this. Azal Rav Gviya mebei katil amar l'shmata kamid Ravashi. So Rav Gviya told Ravashi this report of Rav Huna's, older report, but how could Rav Huna say that? After all, Rav and Rav Yochanan, the Gedolei Hador of Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, first generation, said that you should not, a Kohen Gadol should not marry a Bogeret or Mukareitz. But if he does, then he remains married to them, and remains married to them means he doesn't have to marry them. And what's the argument? Alma sofal liot Bogeret tachtav, sofal liot Mukareitz tachtav. After all, she's a Bogeret, and he marries her, but she's, even if, in any case, she would become a Bogeret while married to him. The same thing with Mukareitz. And therefore, when he marries her that way, since ultimately she would become that way anyways, even if he married her earlier, therefore it's valid. You should say the same thing. The same thing here. If he was Oneser himself, then that's what would eventually happen in any case once they got married, consummate the marriage. And so therefore it should be that if he marries Anusat Atzmo, just like a Bogeret and a Mukareitz, even according to the one who says he shouldn't marry a Bogeret, nonetheless he could stay married to her, which should be the same argument here. And indeed the Gemara ends with Kasha. This really is a challenge to the report of Rav Huna that he has to divorce her. So all the Braita said was Im Nasan Nasui. Rav Huna then had a claim in Rav's name that we're challenging, in which he said that, yes, but you have to divorce her. We're saying that doesn't seem to be reasonable based on Rav's own ruling about marrying a Kohen Gadol, marrying a Mukareitz and a Bogeret. And since that's a status that ultimately she would develop while married to him, therefore that's why if he does marry her, he can stay married to her. And the same should apply to a to Anusat Atzmo. So from Yirtz Hashem in the next podcast, we'll pick up from here, go to the third Mishnah on Daf Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph.